Great to have you here on Reasonable Faith. I'm Kevin Harris with Dr. William Lane Craig. Bill, there is so much going on at Reasonable Faith. We're going to have to talk at the speed of sound. We're going to have to defy physics just to get it all in. Let's start the very youngest and talk about the Bear and Goose series, which is actually doing quite well.
Yes, we are so thrilled with the reception to this series of booklets on what is God like for children, on the attributes of God. And the 10 booklet series is almost complete now. The 9th booklet will come out very soon. And then Marley, the artist, has already drawn the illustrations for the 10th and final booklet. She is so talented, and it's been just a joy to work with Marley. And so this series is about to be completed, and then there will be all 10 booklets. And the reaction of children to these booklets is just hilarious sometimes. One fellow sent in a video to the Facebook page of his son being read the booklet on God is All Powerful, the booklet on divine omnipotence. And the little boy started to cry when the father wouldn't read it to him for a second time before putting him to bed. It wasn't enough to hear the story once. He wanted it a second time. Another mother wrote in and described the reaction of her child to the booklet on divine omnipotence. She said the day after reading the booklet, her child said to her, "Mommy, God can't make a square circle, because then it wouldn't be a circle." And yeah. I thought, wow, this little child gets the paradoxes of omnipotence. And when I wrote that booklet, I thought, is this going to be too much for them talking about things that God can't do because they're logical impossibilities? But honestly, Kevin, we underestimate these little kids. They really do get it. And over and over again, we're hearing from parents about how much children love these booklets and about conversations with their children that they've never had before on these deep issues that arise as a result of reading these booklets.
I'm going to tell people who are advanced in philosophy and apologetics to get this too and add it to your William Lane Craig library. Put it right there next to Time and Eternity.
This is the little secret that my wife Jan tells me, is that it's really the adults that are learning about the attributes of God by reading these booklets.
Even if kids don't express it, this is going on in their heads, and it's amazing when they do express it, like this little boy did. We've also added a new addition on staff in Reasonable Faith, and boy, that just shows we're growing.
Yes.
Let's talk about Lee.
What you mentioned, Kevin, about how Reasonable Faith has got so many tentacles out there, so many different facets of the ministry, that it's hard to keep track of everything that's going on. It's sort of like herding cats, to change the metaphor. And so Bo Bishop and Chris Shannon, who have been our co-directors of the ministry, came to me last year and said, we have got to hire a full-time executive director for this ministry. Well, this was a big step, because up to now, we've only had just part-time people working for us. And the idea of taking on a full-time employee was a big step. I'm not even employed by Reasonable Faith. I receive no income or salary from Reasonable Faith. So on Bo and Chris's advice, we put out the need for the job and began to receive resumes. And the person we've hired is Lee Cause from Buffalo, New York. Lee and Catherine are just terrific people and seem to be ideally suited for the job. He is a systems manager who has many years in industry and manages people, manages systems. And so it's wonderful to have somebody at the top of the pyramid who is supervising and keeping track of everything that's going on below.
You've got also some traveling coming up. Let's talk about some of the travel you did. You were in Canada?
Yes, I had a very long 10-day trip in Canada that took me to both Vancouver area and then also to Calgary, where I did two large apologetics conferences. The thing that struck me about these, Kevin, was the attendance. Each one had over 1,000 people in attendance. It is very clear that these conferences are meeting a deep felt need on the part of Christian laity today. They want to be equipped to defend their faith, and they are coming out to these apologetics conferences, which are being sponsored by relatively neophyte organizations, young ministries that have not got the sort of clout you would think to bring in these sort of crowds. But I think that it's indicative of the need that is felt, and especially, Kevin, among the young men. It is remarkable to see the number of men that come to these conferences, and it has reinforced in my thinking that if the contemporary evangelical church in this country or in North America wants to reach men, I think apologetics is really the ticket, because it appeals to that rational side of the personality that men resonate with. And it's very clear that to reach men, we ought not to be simply putting on barbecues and sports programs and appealing to jocks. We need to appeal to the thinking side of men as well, and they really, really respond to it. So that's one of the things that I did in Canada, as well as speaking at a number of Canadian universities, and had very large crowds for those as well. The Q&As were excellent. You could see there were lots of non-believers in the audience, as was evident from the questions that were posed. So those were very good outreaches, I think.
You made a brief appearance on CNN, and mm-hmm. Bill, it has gotten so many hits on
yes.
YouTube. It was just very brief. That was a couple of months ago.
Right. It was a little thing where they were interviewing me, and unbeknownst to me, they didn't tell me this in advance, they had some YouTube atheist on with me, whom I'd never heard of before. And so this YouTube video has now received over 149,000 views. This is just astonishing to me that people would see this sort of thing. But it emphasizes, again, I think, the importance of getting into the media and then also getting these videos up on YouTube. And so this is one of the things we're focusing more on now, is getting our YouTube channels populated with lots of these videos from debates and speaking engagements, question times, and so forth.
Bill, I want to encourage our listeners again to write to the producers of the major networks and get your name out there. Because when they see this buzz, when they see that there's a person who's coming to the forefront, that there's a lot of people talking about in response to various stories and things in culture, that will get their attention. And we will see Reasonable Faith and you yourself on some of the major network outlets again. And so often, whenever they have Richard Dawkins on or an atheist or someone like this, they will get someone who's usually a real fire-breathing fundamentalist in order to create clash
yeah.
and make it entertaining.
Yeah.
And that doesn't bode well. You know,
no,
for
not
the church.
For us, anyway.
No, it really doesn't. Maybe they would get the clue and say, you know, we don't need to just do that. Let's get two minds here. Let's get the representative of both. But again,
right.
they've got to pick up on the buzz.
People like Dawkins say they want to have a conversation. Unfortunately, that conversation is not usually with an intelligent representative from the evangelical side.
That brings us back to YouTube. There's really been a renovation of YouTube videos then.
Yes, you know, we were given the Dr. Craig Videos YouTube channel by the person who ran it before, and it was shut down then for a while because of some things that he had done, but it has now been cleansed, it's been cleaned up, renovated, and so we are back really attempting to push hard with our two YouTube channels in getting this material out to viewers.
Social media is also very important. And I think that we have a team here that is really on the cutting edge of what's going on in social media. It's not only YouTube, but Facebook and everything else.
Yes, we have a fellow in charge of this named Michael Lapine, who has come on board as another new person that's working part-time with us. He's very skilled in social media, and he's been running the Reasonable Faith Facebook page, for example, and he's just constantly putting new material up there and attempting to grow the fan base for the Facebook page. So that is another area where we're also attempting to expand and reach out to the younger generation.
We are just a few days away from a cruise.
Yes, it's going to be fabulous, Lord willing. 2 years ago, we took a group to Israel with Reasonable Faith. And then this year, we decided to do something that would be more in the footsteps of Paul. And so we're doing a Mediterranean cruise. 123 people are signed up for this from all around the world. There's a large contingent coming from Australia, for example. And we'll be visiting cities like Athens and Ephesus and Rome, as well as Istanbul, which is ancient Constantinople, which was once the capital city of Christianity before it fell to Islam. And I'll be lecturing on the roots of Christian civilization that are connected with these major cities that we will visit, as well as doing some Q&A time on issues in Christian apologetics. So it's a very educational sort of vacation. It's a fun time. It should be fabulous, I think. But it's much, much more than that. It's very educational and I think inspirational for those who are privileged to come on this.
Couple of conferences coming up, one in July. I want to invite people to go to reasonablefaith.org, click on the calendar, and then you'll see some of the things that are going on here.
That's right. I think many folks are not aware that there is a calendar on the site from the questions we get about where will you be speaking. This is on the calendar, and the one you're talking about is at Xenos Christian Fellowship. That's X-E-N-O-S, and it's in Ohio, and promises to be a very large conference, I think around 3,000 people or so. And I'll be giving a couple of talks at that in July.
Australia in August.
Right. Australia is one of the top visiting countries to our website. Being an English-speaking country and a very secular country, Christians there have rallied to the Reasonable Faith site to become equipped to defend the faith. And so folks have been wanting to have a return trip to Australia now for several years, and it's finally in the works for this August. Jan and I will be there for about 3 weeks, and whereas the last time I was entirely in Sydney, this time we'll be in several Australian cities. We'll be having outreaches in Sydney, but also in Brisbane, in Melbourne, and in Adelaide. And it will be a combination of university speaking, conferences on apologetics, as well as dialogues or debates for reaching out to non-believing audiences.
Krauss will be there?
Right. Lawrence Krauss is going to be in Australia at the same time. And so the organizers of this tour have actually arranged 3 separate dialogues between me and Lawrence Krauss in separate cities. I think we'll be in Brisbane, Melbourne, and Sydney together. And the plans are in the works now to do a different topic at each one of these engagements, so it's not just a repeat. Maybe in one we'll talk about, has science eliminated the need for God, say? Or in another one, maybe we'll talk about, does God exist? Or something of that sort. So Krauss and I will be in dialogue on these questions in Australia in August.
Okay. On top of all this, Bill, your scholarly work continues.
Yes,
I continue. How do you have time?
I continue to plug away at my work on God and abstract objects, and that has been just a great source of joy for me, especially interacting with other scholars. When I was at Texas A&M doing the Veritas Forum recently this spring, for example, the philosophy department at A&M invited me to speak in their colloquium and to present a paper. And so I did so on God and abstract objects. And it was very bracing to be able to interact with the professional colleagues in the department at A&M on this subject of, do abstract objects like numbers and propositions and properties exist? And I'm also writing on this subject for a book that Paul Gould is editing called God and Abstract Objects, where I, along with Paul and Graham Oppie, Keith Yandell, Scott Shalkowski, and Greg Welty will all be contributing chapters from a different perspective on the subject of God and abstract objects, and then interacting with each other. We each write a response to the others, And then we finally have a counter response to our colleagues. And I've just finished that counter response and am about to send that into Paul for the final text of the book.
I want people to understand that it's issues like this, philosophical issues, that weigh very heavily on theology, on the Christian faith, just like time and eternity, God and his relationship to time. So many issues there for years have needed to be clarified.
Yes.
That you've worked on.
That's absolutely correct, Kevin. I'm sure that to some lay people, these topics that I work on sound so abstract and irrelevant,
no pun intended.
Far removed from everyday life. And yet, Kevin, I am amazed again and again when I speak on university campuses, in the Q&A time afterwards, these issues come up. And sometimes the questioner doesn't even realize that his question may hinge upon, for example, God's relationship to time. Then we go into that question and expose the deeper issue that underlies the question that's being posed. So you are absolutely right, Kevin, in saying that these philosophical issues that seem so far removed from everyday life are actually very foundational for our everyday Christian faith.
Go to reasonablefaith.org, click on the calendar, and see what's going on. It's right there toward the top of the page at reasonablefaith.org. And Bill, I never say this on our podcast, but I want to invite people to partner with us as well. When you're there, you can donate online and partner with us financially and spiritually to undergird us financially and in prayer all this that you're hearing about all over the world.